Oh, good, Kleenex. Good morning. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. It's good to see so many of you here and in our Pentecostal red. I always love to see red in the church. Hi, Ben. Oh, is it? Okay. And we also say good morning and welcome to all those who will be worshiping with us through our CD ministry throughout the coming days. And announcements. Get to the right place. Page 6 in the bulletin. Today, I will be out at Monroe County Care Home having worship with the residents. Anyone's welcome to come on out. Change of time, 2 o'clock instead of 3 o'clock. And again, this is out at the County Care Home at 2 o'clock, not 3 o'clock. And on July 13th, Tuesday, we will have session meetings. And we will be having our joint worship service on Sunday, July 25th. And I didn't put down there that that is the 9 o'clock time, but that will be the 9 o'clock time. And the Louisville Weber families, all the different clans, will be having their annual reunions out there. Some are on Saturday, some are on Sunday. But they will be blessing us with many gifts in ministry for worship that day. The Reverend Mary Saylor, who is the pastor of Emmanuel Presbyterian Church in Phoenix, Arizona, she will be the guest preacher that day. And what we're working out, actually, is that Mary and Yvonne Reeser will be putting that worship service together. And then we are also hoping that there are some different guest musicians from the Weber family that will also be providing worship music and accompaniment with Marcia. So come on out. Let's pack the church and enjoy the gifts that they have to bring. And communion dates are in there. Are there any other announcements at all this morning? Any? One other thing I'd like to bring, well, two actually, bring to your attention. Since it was voted for us to have communion through the summer and the first Sunday of each month, you have a communion insert. And if you can, just leave this in the back when you leave. And this is the communion liturgy that we will be using for today and August and September. October will be World Communion Sunday. This is a shorter liturgy for our summer months, but it is still a responsive liturgy that we engage in together. So bring that to your attention. And another change that was made, after we sing the Gloria, while we're all still standing, I normally do the prayer for illumination here on the floor with you as we pray for the Holy Spirit to illuminate us as we prepare for the reading of the Holy Scripture. But we will begin singing our prayer of illumination, and we're going to sing Spirit of the Living God. And it's a familiar tune, a familiar hymn to all of us. And so that will be our prayer for illumination. Hear these sentences of Scripture as we prepare to worship God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Happy are those who hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patient endurance. Let us worship our God. Thank you. one other announcement as I invite you to rise in body, mind, and spirit for our call to worship. Our yellow rose on the pulpit this day is in honor of the birth of Annette Claire, born June 11th, 2010 at 9:09 p.m., 8.5 pounds, 21 inches long. Her mother is Kara Gibson, and the proud grandparents are Tom and Nan McBurney. So we celebrate her birth this day with this rose on the altar, the pulpit, and then to the communion table. Let us join our voices in our call to worship. Come as one, to work as one people, for one church, serving the one God, singing to the Lord, you faithful servants. Give thanks to God's holy name. For God's wrath lasts but the twinkling of an eye, but God's favor endures for a lifetime. Weeping may spend the night, but joy comes in the morning. Let us pray. God, who sends forth, call us back to your work. Abide with us, strengthen us, speak to us and through us, so that our every action, our every word, will be for your glory and not for our own. In every note we sing, in every prayer we pray, in every word we speak, may we see Jesus. These things we pray in your holy name. Amen. Our opening hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, number 154. Call to confession this Sunday. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God with confidence. In faith and penitence, let us confess our sin before God and one another, praying together, saying, "You have told us, God of truth, that we will reap what we sow. We have sown distrust, relying too much on ourselves and not on the community of faith. We have sown isolation, ignoring the possibilities of working together for the good of all. We have been tempted to draw the circle closer, tighter, excluding those who don't measure up because they are not us. Challenge us, God of all, to draw all together in your church, calling out and using the gifts you have given each of us, so we may present ourselves as a diverse, vibrant, unpredictable, Spirit-led body of faith. We follow your word, not our own selfish desires. Free us from the restraints that bind us in place, and send us forth as your people into the world. Amen." You're invited into a time of silent reflection and prayer. Amen. The time of waiting is over. A new creation now begins. Our faithful God has heard our prayer. Salvation is at hand. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise. And now let us sing our prayer for illumination, Spirit of the Living God. And the words are in the bulletin.
The first reading today will be from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. That can be found on page 361. Whoops, wrong page. 410 of the Pew Bible, if you want to follow along. Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army, was highly respected and esteemed by the king of Syria, because through Naaman, the Lord had been given victory to the Syrian forces. He was a great soldier, but he suffered from a dreaded skin disease. On one of their raids against Israel, the Syrians had carried off a little Israelite girl who became the servant of Naaman's wife. One day she said to her mistress, "I wish that my master would go to the prophet who lives in Samaria. He would cure him of his disease." When Naaman heard of this, he went to the king and told him what the girl had said. The king said, "Go to the king of Israel and take this letter to him." So Naaman set out, taking 30,000 pieces of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of fine clothes. The letter that he took read, "This letter will introduce my officer Naaman. I want you to cure him of his disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and exclaimed, "How can the king of Syria expect me to cure this man? Does he think that I am God with the power of life and death? It's plain that he's trying to make a quarrel with me." When the prophet Elijah heard what had happened, he sent word to the king, "Why are you so upset? Send the man to me, and I'll show him that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went out with his horses and chariot and stopped at the entrance to Elijah's house. Elijah sent a servant out to tell him to go and wash himself 7 times in the Jordan River, and he would be completely cured of the disease. But Naaman left in a rage, saying, "I thought he would have at least come out to me, pray to his Lord, his God, wave his hand over the disease spot, and cure me. Besides, aren't the rivers of Abana and Parfar back in Damascus better than any river in Israel? I could have washed in them and been cured." His servants went up to him and said, "Sir, if the prophet had told you to do something difficult, you would have done it. Now why can't you just wash yourself as he said and be cured?" So Naaman went down to the Jordan, dipped himself in it 7 times as Elijah had instructed, and he was completely cured. His flesh became firm and healthy, like that of a child. The second reading today is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 16, which would be found on 256 in the Pew Bible. "My brothers, if someone is caught in any kind of wrongdoing, those of you who are spiritual should set him right. But you must do it in a gentle way. And keep an eye on yourselves so that you will not be tempted too. Help carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will obey the law of Christ. If someone thinks he is something when he is really nothing, he is only deceiving himself. Each one should judge his own conduct. If it is good, then he can be proud of what he himself has done without having to compare what someone else has done. For everyone has to carry his own load. The man who is being taught the Christian message should share all the good things he has with his teacher. Do not deceive yourselves. No one can make a fool of God. A person will reap exactly what he plants. If he plants in the field of his natural desires, from it he will gather the harvest of death. If he plants in the field of spirit, from the spirit he will gather the harvest of eternal life. So let us not become tired of doing good. For if we should not give up, the time will come when we will reap the harvest. So then, as often as we have the chance, We should do good to everyone, and especially to those who belong to our family and faith. See what big letters I make as I write to you now with my own hand. The people who are trying to force you to be circumcised are the ones who want to show off and boast about external matters. They do it, however, only so that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Jesus. Even those who practice circumcision do not obey the law. They want you to be circumcised so that they can boast that you have submitted to this physical ceremony. As for me, however, I will boast only about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he, by means of his cross, the world will be dead to me, and I am dead to the world. It does not matter at all whether or not one is circumcised. What does matter is being a new creature. As for those who follow this rule in their lives, may peace and mercy be with them, and them with all of God's people. Responsive reading today is Psalm 30, which be found on page 611 of today the Pew Bible. And those on my side of the church will repeat with me the odd verses, and Pastor Susan and her side the even verses. Then the last verse will be read in unison. So, Psalm 30. I praise you, Lord, because you have saved me and kept my enemies from gloating over me.
I cried to you for help, O Lord my God, and you healed me.
You kept me from the grave. I was on my way to the depths below, but you restored my life.
Sing praise to the Lord, all his faithful people. Remember what the Holy One has done and give him thanks.
His anger lasts only a moment, his goodness for a lifetime. Tears may flow in the night, but joy comes in the morning.
I felt secure and said to myself, I will never be defeated.
You were good to me, Lord. You protected me like a mountain fortress. But then you hid yourself from me, and I was afraid.
I called to you, Lord. I begged for your help.
What will you gain from my death? What profit are you going to the grave? Are dead people able to praise you? Can they proclaim your unfailing goodness?
Hear me, Lord, and be merciful. Help me, Lord.
You have changed my sadness into a joyful dance. You have taken away my sorrow and surrounded me with joy. So I will not be silent. I will sing praise to you. Lord, you are my God. I will give you thanks forever.
Our gospel reading this Sunday is found in the gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 11, and then verses 16 through 20. Luke 10, and found on the Pew Bible on page 95, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Luke 10, 1 through 11, and 16 through 20. Familiar story. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Where whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. These are the words of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, you send us out to be your disciples. May we hear your word this day, as it is intended to speak to each one of us. And may you add a blessing to the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts this day as we go forth your people into the world. We pray all these things in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The 72 disciples are sent this day. And on this day, we celebrate our freedom. In a way, there is a freedom for them. It's kind of like they've been with Jesus and, you know, they've been like apprentices and they've been in training and now they get to go out. They get to do some work in Jesus' name now, and they get to be the ones who get to tell people about Jesus. Freedom, the freedom to go out. But what is the true cost of freedom? I've gotten, for some reason, as I'm growing older, to the point where I really don't like to listen much to the radio anymore. I don't like to listen to much of the music that's out there. For some reason, it puts me to sleep, and when I'm driving, obviously, that's not a good thing. And I really enjoy a lot of times just going in silence, but I've also found that I like very much to listen to books on tape or some sort of tapes or CDs that are going to make my mind work and think while I'm driving. I like that engagement. You know, I can think about something, argue back with it, agree with it, think it's a good point. And I recently was listening to a CD, and this gentleman was talking about the true cost of something and saying that how in our society, as we're becoming more aware of being green and recycling and buying local and what it means to really be an educated consumer in our culture and our society today. And as he talked about the true cost, I was driving up Route 7 and looking over into West Virginia and yet again watching those huge, massive trucks and thinking, you know, what trees are they ripping out? What land are they now mining and stripping bare? And, you know, I thought about that true cost of coal. You know, I mean, we think, well, what does our heating oil cost? What does the coal cost? What does it just cost? So we kind of just tend to look at the bill if it comes. But we're really having that pendulum swing now, and we're not just looking at what that cost is on the bill when it comes, but to say the true cost of that strip mining is we're changing the lay of the land. We're changing the geography. If you listen to the people down in Appalachia, in Tennessee, Kentucky, the devastation that has been done down there in their society, their culture, the way they've lived life, is painful. Painful at the very core of who they are. And my husband and I, we went out to the wilds one time, and they were telling us that part of what's happening with the strip mining is when they've come in and they've replanted that land, well, they've replanted it with plants that aren't native to the area, and those plants are overtaking our native Ohioan or West Virginian vegetation. And so part of the work that the wilds is doing is to try to reclaim and repropagate those native plants. And when they strip that land, well, then that dirt washes down into the waterways, our creeks, our rivers, into the Ohio River. And what we're beginning to see is this swing, especially with our younger generation, where they're looking at what is the true cost of something. So here this day is the disciples, 72 of them are sent out. I ask, what is the true cost of their freedom? As I was working on this sermon and praying and reflecting and reading, I came across this poem. And in here it says, it is a great honor to be so trusted to be one who is sent, as the disciples were. And the gentleman who was writing this said that a man by the name of Gerald Frost was a poet professor and his seminary teacher, and he recited this poem one day, The Sent One. I remember being sent. It made me feel 10 feet tall. How dignifying to walk in borrowed presence down that winding road to the country store. I carried a note, not in my handwriting, of course, because I couldn't write, but I could scribble. I never scribbled on that note. I was content just to carry it. To be sent is an exercise in being third. First, there is the sender. Second, the one to whom you're sent. And then you, the sent one. Any two without the other won't do. He called to him the 12, the scripture says, and began to send them two by two. And he charged them. He called them. He sent them. He charged them. What an honor to be carriers of his love. To be sent. Jesus tells us, or we're told by Luke in this recounting of Jesus sending out the 72, that the harvest, number one, was abundant. This is important to remember, that the harvest, the message that's being carried, is plentiful. But we are not the ones that are making that harvest plentiful. That abundance comes from God, not us. God is responsible for everything. God is responsible for the growth of our faith in us when we open our hearts. God is faithful for growth within our communities when we open ourselves up to that growth. which is probably going to mean some change. And so we prepare and we plan and we anticipate what that growth might be. Really, when you think about it, the Clavinova was a ministry, a step, an opening of your hearts to say, let us prepare for growth. Growth in our music ministry and how we sing our praises to God. The harvest is abundant, but we must be ready and prepared. But as Jesus says to them, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. He says, but I'm going to send you out as lambs. Don't take any money. Don't take a knapsack. He even says to them, no sandals. He says, I'm sending you out as lambs, vulnerable. And we are vulnerable sometimes when we reach out to others in faith. But like a lamb, we reach out and we trust that God is with us. And in that vulnerability, we know that there are going to be some that are going to be hostile to us. But we still carry that message of love as the ones being sent. And when we meet someone or we greet someone at their home, we say to them, peace be with you. And that is not a trite thing or a trite saying. That peace that we offer to someone is a deep, profound message of God's love that we carry to them. It's not just the 60s, hey, dude, yo, peace. No, this is a peace that surpasses all our earthly understanding. But Jesus says, you know, if you're not received there, then just shake it off. Just let it go. Remember, it was either last week or the week before when James and John, when the people rebuked Jesus when he cast out the legions. Remember, they said, let us bring down the fire from heaven on these people because they've rejected you. And Jesus says, no, let's be on our way. Because God is the one who is at work, not us. We move on looking for others who are ready. It is time in their life for them to hear that news of peace. God's peace rests upon those households that are ready to cultivate peace. Next, it's important to hear the message that the success that they have is not their success. They come back all excited, you know, of what's happened, and people receive them and people listen to them, and they were even able to stamp out or overcome the demons out there, the evils in the world. But Jesus says, caution. I am the one who has given you that authority. The message that we carry out is not our message, but the message of the one who comes. And that coming is the new age of the living God, a new life, a new way of being in this world and the next. A new creation comes to the faithful. And finally, Jesus says, I have given you all authority. But that authority, you need to remember, isn't just over earthly things. What matters most is not what's happening here, but that you remember that you are receiving your true freedom in eternal salvation. What matters most is that your name is written in heaven. So the work that we do here is important. We are sent, But we need to remember that as we harvest and pass the peace and we carry God's message of love and grace and mercy, that ultimately the message is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, not just on this earth for all who are ready to receive, but the message of God's eternal life and God's eternal kingdom. So, on this 4th of July weekend, as we celebrate our independence as a nation and we remember our freedoms, not only individually, but corporately, in community, in a nation, but us here as the church, we remember that the cost of our true freedom happened on that cross. And the value of our true freedom is grace and mercy and love that knows no understanding, not just here and now, but eternally. And that's what we are sent forth to proclaim. The sender. To be sent is an exercise in being third. First, there is the sender. Second, the one to whom you are sent. And then you, the sent one. Any two without the other won't do. Thanks be to God that we are in relationship with a loving God. Amen. Our next hymn, Bless Me the Tie That Binds, number 225. Let us have a time now of discerning prayer, a time of not only speaking to God, but a time when we listen to God as we are in God's house receiving God's hospitality and worshiping God. So let us have a time of quiet prayer of discernment this day. Amen. You are invited now to share your thankfulness, your joys, your concerns this Sunday with one another and God. Family of Robert Newhart from Shadyside, who passed away on Friday. Say Paul's last name again.
Inderlong.
Paul Inderlong passed away this week as well. What day? Thursday. Carol Henning is out at the county care home. She had some problems with a foot, so they wanted her to stay off it a little longer, make sure it didn't get infected. So she is also out there. If you run out to see Bob, go see Carol here for a few days. Joyce. The Philip Ludwig family also lost their son this week. How old was he?
16.
Pastor, I'd like to ask for prayers for every family in here, because everybody seems to have somebody that's ill. And I'd ask for the health and the well-being of our church body.
The health and well-being of our entire church body. It's been a rough year for a while now. It's been a longer than a year, so our prayers for this body, this family. Good. She's coming home today. Oh, I know she's happy. Mary Dolan had surgery on Thursday up in Pittsburgh, and she is coming home today, so that is good news. Yes, Ruby Seabaugh is out at Woodsfield Nursing and Rehab. So if you're out up there visiting Donna and Loretta always loves visitors as well. So I always call her Loretta Buchanan. I forget, what's her last name? Whitbach. Okay. Whitbacher, that's right. She's Loretta Buchanan to me. So yes, so if you're out visiting, there are a lot of people to visit. But everybody is doing well, so that's good. Any others? We have people traveling now, and we have a couple of surgeries that will be happening this week. Mick will be getting his contraption taken out, and he'll be getting a cast on. And Ashley will be having some cataract surgery this week, so we hold them in prayer. Any others? Let us prepare our hearts for prayer. Loving God, we give you thanks on this holy day, a day of your creation, that we can come before you, your people, baptized in the name of your Son, that we can bring our prayers to you of concern, our prayers of thanks for new life, and all that rests in our heart, those things that we hold silently and the things that we speak and lift up to you. Receive them all. And open the eyes and ears of our hearts, O Lord, that we will be still enough to hear you speak to us. So in this moment of silence, let us listen to your voice as you receive our prayers. And we ask, O Lord, that you hear our prayers for those that we call by name, Brenda Rice, Bill Rice, Gina Most, Sarah Hall, Glenna Joy Graham, Virginia Lee Morris, Jim Newhart, Reverend Robert Phillips, Sandra Turner, Tom Billings, Mary Jo Hammond, Jack Hammond, Sarah and Sean Galilean, Aiden Russell, Mike Caravelle, Carly Sue Williams, Ashley Shoemaker, John Pastor, Mary Morris, Ronald Bob Howell, Linda Hanna, Jennifer Edgel, Monica Long, Rick Williams, Sally Jackson, Gabriel Kayetta, Chuck Henning, Donna Beery, Gloria Jean West Godwin, Mitch Clift, Danny Olam, Bob LaCrone, Isla Forney, Cecile Waters, Bill Hoag, Sherry and Dalton Patterson, Joe Fetty, Mike Hines, Charlotte Schuerman, Linda Andrews, and all who ask us to pray, O Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts this day. And now let us pray, O Lord, as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come for all of us to take a visible part in the reign of God. Come forward. It is time to begin sowing the seeds of our faith. Let us gather our gifts. Let us pray together, saying, We have seen great things happen in the world because of the efforts of this congregation. We have people answer the call to do the work of God. We have seen people step out into the wilderness and come back in wonder. God of glory, we praise you for sharing this ministry with us. May our offerings, a tangible part of our offering, be joined with our prayers and our actions to create your church in this world. This is your day. May we receive it as a gift we return willingly to you. Amen. Please be seated. And I invite you to pull out your liturgy of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. hear this invitation to the Lord's table. Luke the evangelist wrote of our risen Savior who at the table with two of the disciples took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened and they recognized the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. In company with all believers in every time and beyond time, we come to this table to know the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God Most High. Eternal God, who has created the heavens and the earth, giving breath to every living thing, we thank you for all the gifts of creation and for the gift of life itself. We thank you for making us in your own image, for forgiving us when we act as though we have no claim on us, for keeping us in your steadfast care. We rejoice in Jesus Christ, the only one eternally begotten by you, who was born of your servant Mary and shared the joys and sorrows of life as we know it. We remember Christ's death, we celebrate Christ's resurrection, and in the beloved community of your church, we await Christ's return at the end of history. We take courage from the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit in our midst. We offer you our praise for women and men of faith in every age who stand as witnesses to your love and justice. With all the prophets, martyrs, and saints, and all the company of heaven, we glorify you. Holy, holy, holy God of love and majesty, the whole universe speaks of your glory, O God Most High. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of God. Hosanna in the highest. We remember that on the night of betrayal and desertion, Jesus took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." By eating this bread and drinking this cup, we proclaim Christ's death, celebrate Christ's resurrection, and await Christ's coming again. Amen. Come, Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask you to bless this bread and cup of all of us with the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Through this meal, make us the body of Christ, the church, your servant people, that we may be salt and light and leaven for the furtherance of your will in the world. Come, Holy Spirit. There is one loaf from which we partake, and although we are many, we are one body in Christ, for it is one loaf. This is the body of Christ, the bread of life. This is the cup of blessing, the blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of our sins. It is the cup of the new covenant sealed in his blood. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come, for all things are ready. The body of Christ, the bread of life, take and eat. This is the blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of our sins. It is the cup of blessing. Take and drink. Please stand. Let us say our prayer of thanksgiving together. Bountiful God, we give you thanks that you have refreshed us at your table by granting us the presence of Christ. Strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another, and send us forth into the world in courage and peace, rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, our commission and benediction on page 4 in the bulletin. Go forth in joy, sowing in the assurance that we will reap the harvest in joy. We go in faith, the Spirit will lead us. Jesus sends us out to labor for the harvest. Go forth with these words for a hurting world. Peace unto your house. The blessed peace of Jesus be yours. Amen. And let us join in a litany as we prepare to leave this day and celebrate our day of independence. Almighty God, giver of all things, we thank you for the natural majesty and beauty of this land. They restore us, though we often destroy them. We thank you for the great resources of this nation, They make us rich, though we often exploit them.
Forgive us.
We thank you for the men and women who have made this country strong. They are models for us, though we often fall short of them.
Inspire us.
We thank you for the torch of liberty that has been lit in this land. It has drawn people from every nation, though we have often hidden from its light.
Enlighten us.
We thank you for the faith we have inherited in all its rich variety. It sustains our life, though we have been faithless again and again.
Renew us.
Help us, O God, to work for your realm of justice, peace, and love for all people in our country. Strengthen our efforts to blot out ignorance and prejudice, and to abolish poverty and crime, that all people may live in true freedom, and hasten the day when all people, with many voices in one united chorus, will glorify your holy name.
Amen.
And our closing hymn, America the Beautiful, number 578. Go forth in peace, and may the love of Jesus rest in your house. Amen.